Hello, and welcome to Learning from Strangers, the podcast where people you don't know talk about things that might interest you. My name's Ethan Moses, and joining me, as always, is Holly Phillips. Holly, how are you doing?
Hey, good. Yeah. You're nailing that tagline now. Rolls right off the tongue now.
I'm really trying right now. So, you know, we've been doing this tagline for 11 episodes. We've had 11 episodes. The first ones we were kind of, you know, trying to figure out what it was. But now, just like I've talked about in the past, I'm trying to add a bit of sensuality to it.
Oh, wow.
Just so people feel really welcome and at home right as soon as they turn that on, because I know that the world loves sensuality. So... Holly, I'm concerned about you.
Why?
Because I think you're addicted to Monster Energy drinks.
Oh, God. I actually I've had a lot of Monster in the past couple weeks. And, like, if it was a little bit cheaper than, you know, it's like the difference between, you know, being addicted to pain pills and then considering, like, switching over to heroin, because it's like, Monster's kind of expensive. It's a little out of my budget.
Is this because the WWE came into town and you just felt like you had to up the adrenaline? Or is this just, are you trying to stay up late, or what's going on?
No.
So just put it into context. Holly put a message on my Facebook wall and said, hey, you know, looking for topics. And then you tagged Monster. I was like, what's going on? Is she okay? Like, what's happening? And so apparently it's what's happened. I mean, what's caused this?
I used to drink a ton of sugar-free Red Bull when I was in college, because I had a 7:30 class, and then I would, like, go straight from class and work 8 hours a day. So I would be, like, so dependent on my sugar-free Red Bull. Then when I worked at it as a bartender, we would have unlimited sugar-free Red Bull, because we had it for, like, if people wanted that in their vodka or, like, Jägerbomb or whatever. Mm-hmm. So I would drink a couple of those during a shift. And then I quit. I just would drink coffee. Like, when I started my day job, I'm, like, just drinking coffee. Mm-hmm. But I've been, like, swamped with freelance work lately. And so, I kid you not, I've been getting up at 4:30 in the morning, working before I go to work. And I'm okay to get up and, like, make a pot of coffee. But then when I am at my day job and it hits the 2 o'clock, I want to die.
Yeah.
I got Monster, because I'm like, oh my God, this is gonna, like, give me the jolt. And honestly, I think it might be like a mental thing. Like, I don't feel like I'm totally, like, amped when I'm drinking it. I think it's just like, oh, I'm drinking Monster, so I'll be awake, you know?
Do you drink the big ones? Because there's a couple of varieties of Monster. I think Monster's expanded, I think, since I've drank it. And trust me, I went through an addiction period of Monster that I had to cut down to a cheaper version, and then realized my stomach was slowly eating itself. but there's big Monsters that have the twist-off cap. It's like a 32-ounce Monster. Have you seen those?
I'm just drinking the can.
Oh, okay. You're just drinking the... Okay. So you're not...
That's big enough for me. The can is enough. I feel like that's... Because it's not like a Red Bull can. It's like
But is it as much energy? Like, how much... Like, you look at a Red Bull, and Red Bull's pretty small, and it gives you as much as you need, but a Monster is a big can. It's like a Coke and a half, you know?
Yeah.
So is it giving you as much energy as a Red Bull? Is it more concentrated?
To be honest... When I was bartending and I would drink Red Bull, like, on the regular, I was getting to a point where I'd have to drink two back to back to really feel a jolt. Yeah, it sounds really like I have a problem. But honestly, like, I'm caffeine in general, like, a cup of coffee, that's not going to do anything for me. I need like a couple. But I've been drinking the Monster Zero, like the white can, the Monster Ultimate Zero.
Monster White.
But they have, like, coffee flavored Monster now.
It's awful.
I haven't tried that. I've just been drinking the white can.
I went with the light blue, which is like a low sugar. It's like 20 calories, so it's not too much. But I literally got to a point where I was drinking two of the big cans. Not the cans that you're drinking, but two of the big ones. One in the morning.
Like a day?
Oh, a day. Damn. Yeah. It was a bad time. So I'd be doing a lot. Like, you know how you get really hyper and you get excited? You feel like you're motivated, but you're really not doing anything? You're like doing a little bit. Like, I'd clean one dish. I'd make like half a bed. And then I would do a little bit of homework, you know, a little bit of work. And it doesn't really help out too much. So I was intrigued when I saw that you were really excited about Monster, and then I thought, I think she's drinking Monster right now. I literally imagine you draining a can, slamming it on your desk, and then posting like, that Facebook. Like, oh, I got ideas right now. Let's talk. You know?
No, but I actually to bring the Monster conversation to our core of this show, which is relationships. I actually went on a couple of dates with this guy. Mm-hmm. Who was like a, I guess he was like a sales rep for Monster. This was we just talked about, you know, what do you do? And he was like, oh, I'm a sales rep for Monster. And I was like, oh my gosh, Rob Dyrdek, because I love to watch Robin Big.
Yeah.
And he was like, yeah, and I've actually been to the Fantasy Factory or whatever. Oh, and man. So we talked about that, whatever. Well, when I went to his apartment, he had a bunch of stuff like, you know, if Monster sponsors an event, maybe they have like a Monster skateboard or something like that. And he had a lot of that stuff like in his apartment. Mm-hmm. And whatever, we were just talking about it. And then he was like, handed me a can of Monster, and I was like, oh no thanks, I'm good. And he was like, it's actually water. And I was like, what? And he said that when Monster sponsors like a concert or something, they'll give these cans that look like the energy drink, but it's just water inside to make it look like the rock stars are like drinking Monster, but it's just water.
Yeah, because I can imagine that if you drink too much Monster energy, especially in the amounts that, like, you know, you need to product place, you would probably have some Monster diarrhea by the end of that. So like that could be a like that could be a really, really problem. I know I should I mean you didn't keep that guy around too long, did you? Because he
no.
Oh, that's unfortunate. You could get
No, he was like a nice guy, but yeah. I think there was like some like baggage issues. Like he told me like he just got out of a relationship like maybe like a couple hours before we met. So it was just not right.
But that's what Monster does to you. You're like, oh God, you love her so much, and then click. Oh, new relationship time! Like, yeah, I mean, you got to get right into that. Oh my gosh.
I guess.
That sounds awesome. I'm pretty excited. Yeah. I shouldn't be too judgmental because as we're talking, I was running a little bit late today because I had a day wine. So I'm talking to Holly right now with blue teeth and purple lips. So
and you're legit drinking it out of a wine glass. I feel like most people with any sense of give a damn put it in a coffee cup, Ethan.
Well, Holly, I don't know if I've ever told you this, but I'm in Europe right now, so I've got to really, really cool. I bought a really European jacket today. I went to a very European restaurant. I think my haircut has actually become somewhat European over the time I've been here. So things are happening. So just so everybody knows, my haircut is not European. It's still probably Southern California combined with downtown Colorado. So or Denver for that matter. So I don't look very
well. Good. Next week I feel like I should put some Baileys in my coffee cup at work.
If our podcast isn't completely focused around drinking, then I don't know why we even do this. It makes no sense. But you know what? We actually usually have points to these shows, and we actually have one this week. So that's actually pretty cool. We went with our experimental just talking about stuff last week, which was one of the more entertaining shows I think we've done. It was very good. We had a good time, but we thought we're gonna revisit Holly's dating life because she has a television series like luck with dating, it seems, at times. So we always like to revisit that, but we want to give her a break. And so today we wanted to talk about differentiating networking, as in jobs, and moving on up, as they say, as the Jeffersons say, and dating, and how those two things can intertwine when you work in industries where men and women both happen to work. Our episode is prompted by an experience I had this past week that I will now detail.
Hear this.
Berlin's a big tech startup place. Everyone is making new websites and apps, and they just love that kind of stuff. And so I'm working with a guy right now on a website. It's a secret website, so I'm not going to talk about it, but it's going to be very successful. This guy's a genius, and he allows me to help him when he needs help. And we went to one of these little tech startup meetings, and they're a little bit awkward because the thing about the tech industry is it's half, you know, very charismatic people that are trying to sell you on ideas that you more than likely don't need, and it's half programmers, graphic designers, people that tend to work by themselves and don't have a lot of social contact. And so it's a really weird mix. And so I'm there, and this woman approaches me, and she's full of energy and life, and she's English, and she's Katie with a Y as opposed to Katie with an IE, which I guess gives her, you know, some edge in a conversation.
Wait, did she like say that? Hey, I'm Katie with the Y.
No, I mean she did spell it with a Y. Yeah, she did. Why did she tell me how to spell it? I have no idea why she did that. I don't remember.
I feel like sometimes people...
I'm Katie with a Y. I think that's what happened.
I'm gonna start saying I'm Holly with a Y.
Well, what else would Holly be with?
IE. Well, that's the thing.
Change your name to Holly with an IE or an AE for that matter, and just really be pretentious about Holly. Oh, we're changing it. But anyway, she talks to me. She introduces herself, and she's doing her marketing spiel. Now, here's the thing about women in tech industry is they have to contend with a horrible, horrible group because women in tech, that's growing. That's a good thing. It's great. But right now, a lot of tech companies, a lot of tech people aren't really used to that. And if you are into the tech industry at all, you know, a lot of people realize this. They're talking about this. This is an open dialogue. I'm not saying anything new. So she has grown accustomed to interacting with people that don't have the ability to, you know, just have a conversation and not feel like they're being hit on. And so she gave me her spiel and we're talking and, you know, I'm like, whatever, you know, it's not going to work on me because, you know, I'm tight. I'm tight as hell. So it's not, you know, I didn't need her investing. I didn't need anything from her. And she moved on. And as soon as she moved on to another dude and used the exact same strategy she did with me, being polite. You know, she happened to be an attractive woman, so that's good. That always helps you. And this dude found his next wife. And in my mind, I was like, oh my God. Like, there's really like a thin line between those two things. And I watched...
How old was this lady?
She was probably a little younger than me. So she was probably in her late 20s, I'm going to assume. Either that or she took really good care of her skin.
Okay.
Which, they, you know, here in Germany, they have some weird stuff they put on their skin. They all seem a lot younger than they actually are. But she looked young enough. But it was funny to see this happen. I'm like, oh my God. Like me as a married guy, I know that when I come to these tech places, my goal is not to hit on people. You know, that's just
right.
Obviously. But how the blending of these meetups can be, I mean, this was a pretty casual setting. We were at a bar, people are drinking, having fun. You know, what is networking and what is dating and what is making friends? And so I thought the whole time, I was like, oh my gosh, like how do we differentiate these things? Because this could be really confusing, especially for some of these individuals who see this as their only social outing of the week, you know? I've been programming all, and I don't want to characterize people that program as being asocial because we all know that's a stereotype.
No, but it's just like if you're working all the time by yourself.
It's a demanding job. And so, you know, you get out and do this. So, I mean, I kind of thought, you know, kind of breaking down some of the big differences between someone flirting with you and knowing what flirting is and what someone just wants your business card and they don't want it so they can call you. They want it because they want to have a business engagement with you. Mm-hmm. So like, I don't know. Have you had any experiences with this kind of stuff? I mean, you're a journalist. You do a lot of writing. You seem like you're out and about quite a bit. There has to be a time that you've run into this situation.
Yeah, actually a couple times, and I'll preface this by saying that I don't like networking. Okay, I really like it. Just seems like a big like facade of like ass kissing, and I'm really not into that.
Oh my God! You know what, Holly? I want to add this really quickly. My wife and I have been having this conversation, and I keep saying the same thing to her. And she goes, "It's part of life, Ethan. It's part of life." I literally said not the exact same thing you said, but I said, I just don't like to kiss ass. I actually said, I don't like to suck.
Yeah.
That was more. But well, the same idea.
And I mean, unfortunately, in the job that I have, my, you know, regular job, 9-to-5, it's a lot of people advance that way by playing the game, drinking the Kool-Aid, moving up, whatever. Mm-hmm. So that is why I've only gotten one raise in the past 6 years. But anyway, when I first got this job, I really was like excited to work here, and I really wanted to meet as many people and do what everyone else did. So they have like this group in Baton Rouge that hosts like networking events all the time. And one of these events was like maybe my second week working here, and it was a wine tasting. Mm-hmm. And so I was like, okay, cool. And this guy that worked with at the time, he was like, are you going to go to the wine tasting tonight? And I was like, yeah, I think so. Well, when I first got the job here, I was still bartending. So I would work during the day and then bartend like one night a week after work. Mm-hmm. And I was like, I'm going to go to the wine tasting, but I probably won't be able to stay too long because I have to go to my other job. And he was like, okay, cool. Well, then he offered to give me a ride. And I was like, okay, but like I said, I won't be able to stay that long. So if that's going to be a thing, then I'll just take myself or whatever. Mm-hmm. And he was like, no, that's fine. But it was like once we got there, you know, it was really awkward. And I felt like he was kind of like clinging around to me. And I was like, mm-hmm. okay, this is like a networking event. So we're supposed to like meet as many people as possible. Mm-hmm. And I didn't stay very long whatsoever. Like I was like, yeah, I need to go like now. And he kind of was just being really weird about it. Mm-hmm. And I ended up, you know, getting back to like left the place and like got to my job and everything. But after that, I was like so turned off of networking events because I was like, okay, I don't know if it's like the drinking, you know, I feel like we have a regular networking event at my job once a month where it's just like a breakfast type thing. Mm-hmm. And I've never had any issues there. Mm-hmm. Granted, most of the men that work in my area are like significantly older than me. So, mm-hmm. I mean, I feel like that would just be like pretty crazy and inappropriate. Mm-hmm. But
but super sexy.
Yeah. If they're rich.
Yeah. Wow. Okay, let's get right to the point then.
No, but like, so I really haven't been to too many because of that first one that I had, and it really wasn't anyone's fault except for this one guy because, and it was weird because I just took this job, so I just thought, people are probably listening being like, God, you're such a dumbass. But I never assume that someone is hitting on me. I always mm-hmm. just am like, oh, it's whatever. So when he offered to give me a ride, I just thought, okay, nice. Yeah. Yeah. And then it was totally awkward and it was bad.
And I really do think that, and we'll get to the drinking aspect of it because I have a in terms of networking, like adding alcohol to it is always going to be problematic, I think. But yeah. I think this is a problem that women have more so than men because there's an expectation that, you know, like for guys, like, oh, I'm going to go and make business connections and I'm going to make more money and do this kind of stuff. And women have the same mentality. But when dudes interact with dudes, like it's like, oh, I'm progressing up the business world. When men interact with women, it's like, oh, I'm going to try to have sex with them. And it's like,
yeah.
There seems to be, not all guys are like this, but there seems to be kind of a disconnect. And especially in industries where guys don't interact with women a whole lot, you know?
Yeah.
And so I always think it's kind of funny because, and trust me, as a dude, if I wasn't married and I went to a thing and a pretty girl was talking to me, you know, I would be like, oh, yeah, kudos to me. Like, and then I'd be like, oh shit, it's networking. But a lot of guys don't get that, you know? And is it okay even? Like, if you met someone at a networking event, I mean, why not? Like, that's a cool way to meet people. Like,
yeah, you know? Well, I think that's the problem because, like, okay, if it's a networking thing, like, with people that don't work in your building or whatever, then you're not really, like, shitting where you eat, you mm-hmm. know? So, I mean, there's that.
Yeah.
And it's kind of like killing two birds with one stone. You're like, I went out one time, I got a couple of business cards, and I got a boyfriend. Sweet.
Okay.
So I mean...
So you are a proponent for... So you're not saying that dating within the context of networking is bad, but only if that is the sole purpose of it, or if it's within people you already know. I mean, it's kind of making it awkward, essentially, right?
Yeah, yeah. Okay. I mean, because I'm definitely not a fan of, like, dating at the workplace.
Yeah.
You know?
It's not a good one. Yeah.
Yeah, but if it's like so a lot of these networking events that are like citywide, I mean, you could meet somebody that totally doesn't even work on your side of town. So mm-hmm. if it doesn't work out, then it's not going to be a thing. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, it is kind of like, because obviously, like with the guy I told the story about the poetry thing, mm-hmm. I'm not going to the poetry reading with the intention of like dating someone. Mm-hmm. So it kind of offended me that he was like thinking that, I guess.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
If I went to a networking event, totally like, okay, I'm handing out business cards, I'm trying to hand out 500 business cards to make money or whatever, then, I mean, I could see where that would be kind of like, you know, I don't want to say offensive, but that would just be like annoying.
I think offensive, I don't think you would be outraged of saying offensive because I think that if your goal, and it's all about reading the room, and a lot of people really struggle to do that, but I mean, if your goal is not to have to deal with a clinger the whole time, like if your goal was to network and you had someone pursuing you, because the pursuit in terms of networking, to me, networking is 10 to 15 minutes, essentially, I'm pitching something, I'm pitching myself, I'm pitching a company, or I'm trying to pitch a relationship, you know, between me and whoever I'm networking with. And it's quick, and you're done, and you move on. Whereas when you're pursuing someone from a dating perspective, it's going to take a little bit longer. Hopefully, if things are going right, you talk for a long time. And if it's 10 to 15 minutes, that date's probably not going to happen. So I think understanding who is there to network and who's there for, you know, a booty call or maybe something longer, you know, is something that people lack. Like, I don't know. There has to be, I mean, I guess maybe the thing that we should look at is, so how do you, if you went to another thing like this, and again, I don't like networking stuff either, but if you went to another thing, how do you think you would, what kind of steps would you take to give off the sense that you're there for only networking and nothing else? Nothing below the belt, friends. We're only handing you your card here. I mean, that's the thing that I'm kind of like, oh, like, because I'm someone who likes to talk to people, but I'm also very cautious with how I talk to people because there is a thin line between flirting and just having conversation. And as a married guy, it makes you look that much creepier if you're like, hey, ladies, what are you doing? I just want to be friends with you. You know? Yeah. So, I mean, what is there something we can do? I mean, we talked about the red and green buttons last week, but I mean, do we need to have a red, like, you know, red means, yeah, I'm just networking, friends. Nothing below the belt. And green means, let's see what happens, you know? I don't know.
I don't know. I mean, I guess if you're only talking about, you know, I guess if the conversation were to stray from your business or whatever, then you could just be like, well, I got a next person. I don't know.
Oh, next. Sorry. Wait, what was that? Did you just mention date? No, I'm sorry. We got to move on. You know, no, I'm not going to touch her. I mean, maybe, I don't know. It's just, it's really weird because networking and dating is so close. Like, I mean, networking is just dating someone's business. I mean, if you really think about it, you're dating someone's money. You are, to network is to make friends or to date the possibility of interacting with somebody on a higher business level.
Yeah.
And so that's why it's so weird is, you know, like, I even feel creepy when I'm talking to someone. Like, I had a conversation with a guy about his tennis. He had an app that he showed me about him. And this is actually falls right into it. It was an app, application where he could find people in Berlin to play tennis with. Cool app, you know, whatever, that's fine. But the first thing he showed me was all of the female tennis players he could play with. And so I was like, I mean, cool. Like, okay, I get it. So yeah, this is a pretty useful app. And then from there he goes, hey dude, you want to be my wingman? Literally said this. I'm not fucking kidding you. I'm not fucking kidding you. And then he kept pointing to this, like, curly hair. So, again, it's not dating, but it's also, like, another – I mean, it's within the same wheelhouse. It's like, I'm not here to, like, necessarily make good friends, especially with that kind of force kind of stuff. So how do you – and I had no idea what to say to this guy. I was like, I'm married, dude. He's like, that's okay. You can, you know, you can still be my wingman, can't you? I was like, why do you think I look like somebody who's going to be a wingman? Like, if you want a wingman, do not pick me. Literally pick anybody else on the planet because I'm gonna fuck it up for you. I guarantee it. But it was like that kind of stuff. Like, it is weird. I'm like, I'm not here for that. But he probably didn't know, and he kind of looked like he just woke up out of bed too. So he may not have even known that like this was a networking type meetup. Though he did sell me on his tennis app. but I mean, it was like, I don't know. It's really weird. Like, and those kind of places. And I think, well, look at the setting. Is it really his fault? Like, look at the setting you're in. There's alcohol. It's an intimate setting. I mean, how could you know, there's men, there's women, you know, one aspect of networking is learning a little bit about who that person is. So, I mean, why wouldn't you get the impression that somebody liked you, you know? Like, so should we make drinking off limits at networking events? If that's the case, I'd never fucking go to them. And I'll tell you that right now, you know?
I really like, I don't know. I mean, and then, you know, part of this though, probably like that guy could just be super weird.
Well, yeah, I mean, he did seem super weird.
He
leaned really close to me. And then I thought at the end of the night, was he hitting on me? But it was like he was talking about ladies the whole time. So I was like, I don't know. Yeah. I don't know. It was different.
You know, I feel like in a couple, because being like a journalist, especially I don't do as much like freelance like reporting stuff as I used to. But that was always kind of, that's not networking, but it was always kind of, if the person that I needed to interview was a guy, it's like you have to ask a lot of like personal questions. And sometimes if I did like feature stories, like I did a story on these like couple DJs, and so I spent a whole weekend following them. Mm-hmm. And it was just like when they took shots, I took shots. When they stayed at the bar till 3 a.m. playing music, I stayed at the bar with them with a damn notebook, you know. Mm-hmm. So like when I was in those situations, it was kind of weird. It was like, unless they had a girlfriend, then I feel like they were just kind of like, oh, maybe this is a thing, you know. And then you're just kind of like, this is like kind of my job, you know.
Yeah, well, you just show them the notebook. I've got a notebook. Sorry, like maybe that's what it comes down to. Like a notebook differentiates between those two things. But it is weird. Yeah. Because with I mean, and I guess this goes into any job that is, I don't want to call them, because you know, there's your 9-to-5, the 9-to-5 job, and then there's a job where you're working on the weekends, you're doing that kind of thing. I mean, with journalism or even taking clients out for dinner or whatnot, like mm-hmm. keeping that line, preventing yourself from crossing that line without seeming too cold, you know, because you don't want to also be like, oh, I'm just here for the story, not here for any sort of fun. You know what I mean? So it's really weird, because then, I mean, there you are sitting waiting for this DJ, and the only difference between you and a groupie at that point, I mean, literally, is a notebook.
Is a notebook, yeah. And people that were at this club that I was at, you know, one night, they were like, oh, because I was, like, behind him in his little booth or whatever, just observing, you know. And this one girl asked me, like, oh, is that your boyfriend or whatever? You're just making sure. And I was like, no. Yeah. no. Have at him.
Yeah. Did you say it? Did you walk? Right, guys, don't... Hi, I'm Holly. Have at him if you would like. He's all yours. So, I mean, but there's really nothing you can do. I mean, it's more about perception at that point. But, I mean, did anything weird happen at that point? Or was it just more, like, your concern as opposed to what actually, like...
Yeah, and I think, like, as a, you know, because I feel like, honestly, my whole time being a journalist, people just, like, look, you know, I'm not a troll, and I'm not, like, a... You know, I'm not like a nerdy, like, I don't know. I feel like when people think of a typical girl journalist, they think of like, shit, I don't know. But I feel like, you know, my whole time, it's hard for people to like take me seriously, because they're like, okay, yeah, whatever, you're a journalist. And now, especially like once I started writing like relationships columns, then it was like, okay. You know, so then there's that aspect on the table sometimes, and people will ask me like, you know, I've had people like on a date be like, is this going to end up in a column or stuff like that? So it's just like, I feel like whenever those lines kind of blur, it's awkward. I'm like,
Well, the answer to that is yes. Everybody, if you're going to go on a date with Holly, you will end up either on this podcast.
It's not only going to be in a column. It's going to be in a podcast, on a blog, maybe a TV show. I don't know. So, yes. You actually need to sign this contract right now so that I can take all of your rights.
You better be a really good first date, or else you're going to look like a huge dick. So, that's what... But, I mean, that's an... I mean, it all intermingles. So, I mean...
Yeah.
I don't know. Like, I think one... Like, you mentioned a networking breakfast earlier. And I think that's kind of a safe bet, because breakfast to me is the safest meal to have with somebody. If you want to invite somebody to a meal and not have them get the wrong impression, invite them to breakfast. And so a networking breakfast, you're not gonna have alcohol. There's no reason to. Well, I mean, some people do, you know. Some people have alcohol during the day. You know, those people are, you know, whatever, they've got problems. But
I like it when it's like, I'm cool with if it's like an event, like this networking breakfast happens before an event, like it's like a speaker, and then they leave 30 minutes prior for like the coffee and to get your food and network. But if you don't want to network, then you can just come for the speaker.
So
that's kind of, I think that's good.
So maybe a level of organization needs to happen, because I will say, like, the thing that I went to, it wasn't organized. I mean, it was organized in the sense that, hey, show up here and have a conversation, but I mean, that could mean anything, you know. And so so having that half an hour does not give you time, because I mean, this thing that I went to could have gone on all night. I mean, it could have, you could have had a conversation with somebody, and you could have gotten the wrong impression for 5 hours if they didn't know how to say, hey, I'm not really gonna go home with you, I just really wanted your business card, you know. So I think organization is a big key to this kind of stuff. And I think that also, and looking back, I should have handled it like this with this dude who he wandered away. He must have, you know, it wasn't that big of a deal, but like to say to somebody, I'm here for business. I'm here for my business. And mm-hmm. I think especially even for women, because I know women deal with this a lot more than guys do. Women seem to have a little bit better, and I don't want to generalize, but better grasp on the disconnect between business and pleasure. Dudes, like, you know, our dicks lead us, you know, we don't just turn those off. Like when we're in a business situation, like that leads us. And so even to say, hey, look, I'm not trying to give you the wrong idea. I'm really here to talk business, because I think there's conversation topics that give you the idea that this dude is not curious about me, my journalism or my writing. He's something else. He's curious about my boobies, you know? Like,
yeah.
I mean, that's what it comes down to, you know?
You know, actually, it was funny because my friend Marcy, she invited me to a networking event a couple weeks ago, but I agreed because it was also surrounding this art exhibit that I really wanted to go to. Mm-hmm. So they had the networking part was like outside of the exhibit where they had food and drink, and then, you know, you could go in and see the exhibit, but it was a women's only networking event.
Okay.
So that was pretty, like, now that I think about it, it was pretty, like, pressure off. Of course, that meant I just, like, stuffed my face with, like, the sushi bar that they had, but...
So either way, you're either gonna, like, fight off dudes flirting with you, or you're gonna eat too much sushi at one of these events, so...
Yeah, but I was going more for the art exhibit, but, the idea that it was women only, I was like, that's kind of cool. It was called, like, Women in Business or something like that. It was kind of cool.
But is that something that... It sounds really bad, but again, judging from some of these situations, like, do we need that? Like, do we need to separate the sexes at this point? Because, I mean, for women, it's different. And again, I'm not one for saying everything guys do is sexist, but I gotta say, dudes are still catching on to the fact that women talk to them for reasons besides courtship. You know what I mean? Like, and especially in some industries that are not as heavily occupied by women. So, I mean, do we need to separate? Like, you know, you can have the same networking event, but dudes, you go in there and women, you go in here. And at the end of the night, if you still want to get your rocks off, then yeah, go and talk. But I mean, you get through it, because it seems like that's almost what needed to happen. Because I watched this poor woman who, you know, at the networking event, I mean, she knew what she was doing. I get it, but she didn't know who she was selling it to. Like, she didn't, to me, what she was saying is, hey, like, you have a website, or you're working with a website, I have services I can offer you. But to everybody else, that came across as, hey, I want to talk to you. Yeah, I want to service you. You know? And it's really sad that she can't just be a charismatic, attractive woman and be able to just have those conversations and to have to define that and say, look, I'm here for business. I'm being nice to you. That's all. That's nothing else from that point on, you know?
Yeah. But, I mean, at the same time, like, that's somebody who's probably going to, like, advance in their career. Not, like, sleep their way to the top. I'm not saying that.
Yeah.
But, like, I mean, you know, I feel like that kind of, like, looks and personality gets you further than you want to admit.
Mm-hmm. And it's probably a double-edged sword then, you know? I mean, being the super attractive guy that I am, I mean, I get jobs thrown at me all the time. I'm like, is it because of who I am, or is it because I just, my hair looks really European?
Maybe the next networking event I go to, I'll just wear like a dragon costume. Oh, but like, it's just about the business.
You know what? You already have one experiment that's going on via this podcast. this needs to be experiment number two. Not only should dragon you take just wear a dragon. Where did a dragon costume come from? Do you have a dragon costume?
I don't know.
Costume?
No, I was trying to think of something that wouldn't be like sexy. You can't be like sexy dragon.
Holly.
Everything.
Your little world sounds so beautiful, but everybody thinks everything is sexy. If you think there's not a guy in this world who would not fuck a dragon, you're wrong. I mean, it's the worst kind of attention you can get. I mean, a dragon. Let's think though. What would be a non-sexy thing that you could wear? What elf? What is not that you could move around in? I mean, let's be honest here. And walrus. I don't think a walrus.
That's
would be
not
very,
sexy.
I don't think there's very bit. I mean, there's a lot to. There's a
Has
lot
the
of.
Big tusks.
Yeah, I mean, with dragons, you're dealing with mythology. You're dealing with fantasy.
True.
Dudes get boners over things like Game of Thrones and that kind
but
of stuff.
A dragon.
I mean, a dragon lady. I mean, you're a woman inside of a dragon. I mean, maybe he thinks he's going to free that lady with his his sword. I don't know. I'm not really that into fantasy, but that's not true. I kind of am. But I would like you. This is what I would like you to do. I'm going to pose this. We're gonna have a Holly challenge at the end of each of these podcasts. I would like you to go to a networking event dressed as a dragon. And I guarantee fucking to you that one, you're gonna hand out a shit ton of cards because everyone's gonna say, "Oh my, who the fuck is that girl with the dragon costume? That's awesome. She's got balls." But you're also gonna get at least 15 guys that are like, "I really like your dragon costume." It's gonna happen. But ladies, maybe is that what it takes? Though, are we still in a world where women have to wear dragon costumes to networking events? To prevent, giving the wrong idea to people. I hope not. I don't know. What else? What is a way that, I guess, thinking about it, because as a guy, like, I don't know. I mean, women don't get the wrong impression as much as guys do. So what else can women do to prevent guys from thinking, oh, this is about, it's about the poon. As they say that, and I don't say that.
I don't know, because I feel like I am, like I've said this before, I feel like I'm not very good at, like, I never assume that someone's, like, hitting on me. So I feel like that is one thing that I'll admit about myself. Like, I feel like I am so terrible at judging that. Like, I feel like sometimes I think, oh, yeah, that guy's totally into me, and then they're not. And then on the other hand, I'm like, oh, no, that guy was totally not flirting with me. And everyone's like, yeah.
Yeah, he was. Oh, well, that's...
So I don't think I really know.
God damn it. Why did I bring on a woman who has no concept of when dudes are being inappropriate? I really need that. No,
I mean, inappropriate, that's one thing. Well, but I feel like... okay, we were saying, if a guy gives me the business card, if it is in a networking situation, am I going to think that that's like, call me for something other than business? I don't know if I guess it depends on what the conversation was, but.
So even look at the business card. So he hands you a vanilla business card. Uh-huh. Nothing's been modified on it.
Yeah.
Business. If he hands you a business card and. Yeah. He's drawn a small heart on it.
Well, yeah.
Maybe he's just friendly. If he hands you a business card and it's a picture of his penis going into something, that may be.
What if it's a business card that is okay, like for his office, and he's like writing his cell number on the back?
Mm.
Because everyone I feel like that could be. Inappropriate or just like, hey, this is my actual line.
To me, it depends entirely on the conversation, but that is a thin line because like how
because a business line ends at 5 o'clock.
Yeah.
Cell phone 24/7.
Is he a stockbroker? Okay. Maybe he's got like oh holy shit. Like you gotta buy fucking KFC is blowing up right now. You gotta buy it. Okay, I get it. I know nothing about stocks. Does KFC even have a stock? Probably.
Probably.
But I think that is a thin fucking line. If a dude gave another dude a cell phone number, perfectly acceptable. Perfectly acceptable at that situation because it is. I'm not even going to explain it. It just is. But a guy doing that to a woman or vice versa, I think that is where a wrong impression happens because how
I
badly... No, I wouldn't either. I mean, I wouldn't.
I have a phone at my desk, so I would give that.
And don't call me past 5. Like that was my big thing. Like I used to be on call, but only a certain number of people would have that. I never gave my cell phone number out to people unless I was trying to get. No, even then, no. I was even thinking, even trying to get new clients, because the big thing to do when you're trying to get a new client is, hey, here's my personal cell phone number. If you need to call me, call me. that's kind of a that's like, oh shit, he's
you
in
got
it.
The in, yeah.
Fucking never did that. Maybe that's why I'm a bad salesman. But I did do that because I knew like they would either call me or they might get the wrong impression. Like, what does that mean? Does he want to have sex with me? I don't even know, you know? So
yeah.
I think that is something that could probably be avoided unless, I mean, your cell phone number should be on there, shouldn't it? I mean, why would you have a business card that didn't have your cell phone number on it? You know, to me, you're adding fuel to that fire. You're saying, oh, here's another way to get a hold of me. Maybe later on this evening. I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah, no, it's true. I mean, I wouldn't put my cell phone, like, I usually go, if it's like something where I'm like, hey, you know, then I usually put like an email that pops to my phone. So yeah. I'll see it if I'm not at the office. But that's probably as far as I would go.
Well, and email's a good way to kind of good buffer zone too, that if somebody yeah. does get the wrong impression, you can be like, hey, you know, something happened. I literally yeah. here for networking. So I think that, I don't know, the cell phone number, that is, you know, take that risk if you want to, but I think I would not necessarily recommend that. Unless you are in a business that literally you may need to call somebody within the next, you know, 24 hours, and it may be in the middle yeah. of the night. And if that's the case, I don't know what business you work in, but it's kind of weird. if you're moving bodies or something, I don't know. I'm trying to think, like, what are subjects you just wouldn't, because I remember the conversation I had with this woman, 10 minutes, maybe. We talked about mm-hmm. what I did, what I could use from her. She talked about what she did, what she could do for me, and this is all platonically. Boom, done.
Okay.
So I think if she would have started talking about plans, and we talked about this a few weeks ago about, you know, mentioning, oh, what are you doing this weekend? Or, you know, what are you into? And
yeah,
that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Is that breaching that unofficial contract of networking? Is, oh, it'll, do you like tennis? I've got an app that you can find any tennis players.
Well, in. Yeah, I think it depends on how it's going to be related to the business. If someone's like selling, you know, a lawn care business, and they're saying like, "Do you spend your weekends mowing your lawn? Mm-hmm. Let me take care of that for you." That's one thing. Mm-hmm. But if they're like, "What are you doing this weekend? By the way, I write HTML code." Mm-hmm. That has nothing to do with one or the other. So it's kind of like, okay,
yeah.
But off. You said that this lady moved on to the other guy, said the exact same thing, and they took it as that she was hitting on him, right?
Mm-hmm.
So were you just like, are these guys just like dumbass or what?
I think that I have worked in a number of different fields that I worked in an industry that was dominated by women. I mean, I was probably one of three guys at my office, so I know how to work with women. A lot of guys don't. And I don't want I never want this to turn into a gender type thing, but I mean, seriously, guys do not know how to work with women. And on that matter, yeah. a lot of women don't know how to work with guys. I mean, it's just one of those things that we still have not figured out yet. We just yeah. haven't. And we've turned a blind eye to it. It's a white elephant in the room. But there's some gender relations that just aren't there yet. And that's something that people need to work on. But I know that, like, one, I'm married, so it doesn't matter. She can hit on me all night long. It's not going to work. Trust me.
Right.
I'm like fucking iron. I'm a dedicated fucking husband. I really am. Probably because I'm way, you know, my wife is way out of my league, so I got to, like, hold on tight. But but I knew for a fact. I was like, this is business. We're here for networking. You know, I
yeah.
knew it. I don't think a lot of those guys there did. And I don't know if it was for the setting or what, but I mean, I think she eventually kind of left because she realized, oh, shit, like, this isn't, people aren't getting this. So, I mean, I don't know. Like, I don't know if it's the other aspect of it, and not to get back to, I mean, I was brought up pretty well. My mom brought me up to respect women and to not see them as, you know, sexual objects. I mean, that's just,
yeah.
I was in a family that was, again, the women were kind of the power position people, you know, and so we knew that you could have a friendship with women. I mean, I've always been able to be friends with women and not have a problem with it, but I don't think a lot of guys do. So I mean, that is why I think it kind of sucks to be a woman in those situations, because you have to be able to differentiate between the guys that get it and the guys that don't. And how do you do that? I mean, that's pretty difficult.
Yeah. I mean, and that's always going to be something that I feel like is on the table for women mm-hmm. in business, is that you're going to have to deal with, you know, because it's like you said, like, there's nothing really, if it's a networking event, you can't sit there and say, oh, well, I'm just going to wear a turtleneck. Well, that's a thing. Or I'm just going to wear a suit. Well, a lot of guys think a woman in a suit is really hot. Mm-hmm. You know, like, you can't even, like, get away from, like, a dude not, like, looking at you, you know?
And based on what you've said about turtlenecks, you can't even wear turtlenecks.
I know.
You
know? Hell no, I'm not wearing a turtleneck.
But, I mean, that's the thing. I mean, like, I don't know. I hate to say it, but it's kind of a lose-lose in that situation, you know? I mean,
it is. And, you know, I feel like a lot of times, and this sounds really awful, and maybe, I don't know if guys have had this situation too, probably, but, like, if you have ever, like, been in a situation as a woman where you're like, oh, guys said something at the office that was, like, out of line, and if you call them out on it and be like, hey, I don't appreciate you talking to me like that, then they're going to be like, oh, whoa, I was just kidding. I don't know what you're thinking.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, okay, like, you have no ground to stand on.
Well, and that is kind of a problem because there's the boys club, and I think that there's a level of, I'm very middle ground when I think about this, is I think that it's okay to tell jokes, it's okay to not take things seriously, but I think that a lot of people have grown accustomed to telling and acting very inappropriately for a really long amount of time, that now that people are kind of saying, it's not okay to smack a woman on the ass, or it's not okay to comment on how nice a woman's bosom looks, you know, like, they're right. Like, oh, really? We've been doing this for the last 60 years. Well, fucking, of course you've been doing it for the last 60 years, because you've had no reason not to. And things are changing a little bit. So I'm not one for calling out. I think there's I think the biggest issue with feminism today is that they're focusing on the small battles without, you know, actually achieving anything within the big battles. But I gotta say that guys still do not get the concept of the way you've acted since you were in high school isn't appropriate. I mean, it is. Like, you can't, yeah, you know, when you're with your buddies, even with your buddies, like, I find it gross to sit and talk the way that a lot of guys talk, you know? So if you're always surrounded by, like, inappropriate, you know, conversations about women or about anything, and then you're suddenly in a business situation, are you able to turn it off? A lot of guys can't, you know, a lot of people can't in general. So I think that when it comes to networking, if your whole, if the dialogue in the locker room or the dialogue, you know, on the golf course is women's as bitches, they got boobs for us to look at, then I'm sorry, but that's going to follow you. And I mean, it's going to, like, you're still going to have that attitude, whether it comes across, you know, directly or indirectly, you're still going to have that attitude. So I think a lot of this networking stuff comes down to people just learning what's appropriate, you know, and for people like us who I think have a grasp on, you know, appropriate conversation, though, get me a few too many beers, I'm going to start talking about Terminator 2 to people I shouldn't talk about Terminator 2 to. But again, like, it's like having that concept. So, I mean, it's a fundamental issue as opposed to just like a, here's some advice to follow when you go into it, because you could go up and, I mean, I remember going to some of these video game jams, and video game industry is notoriously sexist. You introduce a woman into playing video games, programming video games, marketing for video games, she is going to deal with a hellstorm that she has never dealt with in her entire life. And I remember going to these game jams and being like, oh my God, like, how is this fucking real? Because these dudes have no idea. They have no concept of how to interact with people properly. Or they go on the other end and they feel like they have to, like, protect women. And so they hover
around.
What's
a game jam?
Game jam is when you go, you program a game in 72 hours. I covered one last year. It's a big video game thing. But, I mean, it's the same thing. Like they, this woman could be talking code at the most, you know, the most significant level. She can know everything, and a lot of these dudes are gonna take that as, oh, you're hitting on me because you're talking about something that I like. You know what I mean? Like, it's, you can't really get away from it. Oh, you like to code too? Well, I like to code. We should go and, you know, do some sex, you know? I mean, I've seen these things happen. So it's almost like, I it sounds bad, but I mean, I almost feel like the gender segregation is the only thing to really do. In certain situations, but
yeah,
that's not possible, because if that's the case, and we might as well ship ourselves back to the 1950s, you know?
Yeah, so I was gonna say, we're definitely moving backward. That's sad.
So is it okay for you to say, I think it's okay, but do you think it's okay for you to say, look, if you're getting the wrong impression, hey, good to meet you. See you later. Here's my card.
Yeah, I think so. Which, it's not like I'm planning on setting up a booth at, like, a networking event anytime soon.
I think you should, and I think you should have your dragon costume in tow. I just love the idea of that. I really do.
I'm talking about like a real dragon costume where like you don't know it's a a woman inside, like a legitimate dragon,
like a Chinese dragon costume, because you need like five people for that, or like a medieval dragon costume.
Medieval dragon costume.
Oh, I'm not gonna lie, this is really inappropriate, but I have a boner thinking about this.
I want you to know that it's a girl in there.
You don't, so it could be anybody, but okay.
But then how am I gonna hand out my business cards?
Yeah, that's true. I think maybe you need to have somebody like attached with you, like a mini dragon. But you want to talk about turning people on.
We've entered in like a furries convention, and ever since I saw that episode of True Life, I'm like traumatized.
What do you think about that?
I thought it was really fucking weird.
Really? Oh, you shouldn't say that. Furries are a community that will burn us to the fucking ground. Don't mess with Scientology and don't mess with furries, because we are fucked. This will be the last podcast. Thanks to Holly. Thanks a lot, Holly. So,
sorry, but now when I see a mascot at a game, I'm like, because I used to like hug the mascot, get a picture taken with it. Now I'm like,
that makes you a furry. You just didn't know it. You were a low level furry this whole time. Yes, you are. You hug mascots. Who does that?
You don't hug the mascot.
Fuck no. I'm not a fucking furry, Holly. Do I sound like a furry? No, my wife hugged the Berlin Bear guy who stands down by Brandenburg Gate, which is like a big tourist attraction. And I said, I don't think you should hug him because he looks like Pedo Bear. And for anybody that knows, Pedo Bear is a meme. It's a pedophile bear. It's creepy. It's attached to creepy stuff, but it's, I don't know. Anyway. And I said, don't hug him because he looks like Pedo Bear. And she went and hugged him, and he said something very Pedo Bear. He was like, I really like this. You know? And
what?
It was really weird stuff. So maybe we should avoid, I mean, this is completely, opposite what we're talking about today, but maybe you should avoid people in costumes in general. Don't hug them. What do you think they're thinking underneath that? Why would you put a costume on and want to hug people? Holly, you're a furry. I think we're, the next episode we're going to deal with is the fact that you... You happen to be furry.
I'm a hypocritical furry.
The dragon costume, you had been thinking about that for a while. That does not just randomly pop up. You literally, I'm looking at your office right now. I don't see a dragon costume, but I think it's there.
No. I don't have any costumes.
Everyone has costumes. How are you supposed to do disguise work? I thought you were a journalist. How do you go undercover as a dragon?
No. Yes, undercover as a dragon.
Hey, John, we got these drugs. We're going to push him, but what's up with that dragon? Don't worry about it, Paul. He's cool. He's just a dragon. Don't worry about it. It's not an undercover journalist or nothing. That's my New Jersey accent. I'm not very good at it.
Good
Lord.
So what
were we talking about?
I don't know. You think I'm furry? I'm not.
I think you're furry. We're going to investigate this more. So that's kind of our... I guess we've come to the consensus that networking is...
Not safe.
It's leave now. Don't do it. But no, I think the only thing we can say is we're not trying to be an advice show. We're just trying to have open conversations about this kind of stuff. But if you feel like something's inappropriate, just walk away. Don't feel like you have to be polite. Walk the fuck away.
Throw your business cards in the air and run as fast as
boom. Put on your dragon costume. Slither out the fucking door, or fly, depending on what kind of dragon you are.
Oh yeah.
Based on mythology and all. But again, don't feel bad about doing that kind of stuff. That's get the fuck out of there. We have to. I think a lot of people, there's a big push that you have to say, this is inappropriate. I feel like I'm being. If you don't feel like you want to say that, don't say it. Just be like, hey, here's my business card. See ya. And get out of there. But I think that kind of closes that up. But I do want to give you guys a preview. Next week, we are going to be confronting Holly directly on her furryism. We do have a team that's going to meet with her. We're going to do it's going to be nice. It's going to be an intervention of sorts. And I'm excited about it. I think it kind of puts you on the spot, Holly, but it's a dark road to get into. Yeah. I feel like sometimes I'm in Berlin and I'm in this magical bubble and I can just kind of watch fun things happen. So, I appreciate it. I like it.
thanks.
I got nothing else to do. So, hey, how's the other experiment going?
What other experiment?
The experiment.
The virgin experiment?
Yeah.
Still I lost count.
Did you?
But, yeah, I mean, I seriously was thinking about putting a clock on the blog But then I was like, oh, it might get really sad, like I said, because I feel like it's been like a couple months.
It's your choice, though. That's it. Doesn't make it sad. It makes it. It makes it like a
and it
success.
Makes it empowering. Because
it is empowering because you made that choice.
I know.
I'm gonna put the Virginia clock up. I think.
Yeah,
I
you should. But you have to figure out when we. I don't know when it starts. I think it's been like 2 months.
Yeah, I think I have the exact episode when it began. So I could literally to the second I could count down how long it's been. Well, that's a good thing. Has it made your life less complicated?
Yeah, I mean, yeah. It's like I don't really have any drama, although I kind of am like I feel like I'm getting a little bored with myself.
Mm. And that's where the dragon stuff came in.
Maybe.
There is something that I think that we should look into. I've been listening to a podcast where they go and do investigations about paranormal and pseudoscience and that kind of stuff. I kind of want you to investigate dating-related situations that people wouldn't usually do. In the first episode, I really want you to go to a furry convention. I just...
What?
Why not, Holly? Listen, we can...
Those people like hump each other.
You don't have to hump. I'm not saying I want you to put on a fox costume and hump anybody. I'm just saying I want you to put on whatever costume makes you feel appropriate. Now, I don't think dragon is going to work because that's not really furry. It's scaly.
It's not furry. Yeah.
And observe. I think we should do that. And I will go into, if you do that, then I will do the underground leather dungeon society that fucking Germany is known for. Observing only, because I think that would be weird, but I think that's the next step. People want hard-hitting journalism from this website. I think that's what they want, and I think we should get into this, you know? I don't know.
Yeah, I like how you lured me in with like a casual podcast about drinking and relationships, and now I have to go to a furry convention.
I'm just saying, Holly, I think it's time we take it to the next level.
God, I mean, if this gig did not pay so much money, then I would just walk away right now.
For people that don't know, Holly makes $200,000 an episode. So we're making a ton of money, but we'll investigate that kind of further. But hey, this has been great. We love having these conversations. Thank you all for listening. Comment on the blog. Comment on our blogs. Holly is at The Bitter Lemon. She updates that regularly. I'm at Model Husband. I can do a little bit better. join us next week. We are going to move to Wednesdays during the week based on schedules, but I think Wednesday is a good time. Hump day, people like to listen to stuff on hump day. And gives us time to get things fleshed out and looking good. But again, I'm Ethan Moses. This has been Holly Phillips, and we'll talk to you next week.
Bye.